for he is certainly worthy of all of the praise that we give. And for that, we say thank you today, Lord. Thank you for another day, September 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I want to say, while I'm saying that date, happy birthday to my very youngest and the last, the caboose, Alina. Happy birthday to you, Alina Muse. Amen. And we officially welcome you into Alabama football Roll Tide. For her birthday, she was at the Alabama game yesterday with such a great victory. Good morning to you all. Amen. And I'm excited today, and I hope you as well are excited about what the Lord planned to do for us in this moment of gathering. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to move most expeditiously into our message for today. We will be in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that is, in chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And if you will compose yourself in that book, in that chapter, we will address some verses there, and we will see what the Lord have to say to us this morning. And while you're going there, and as I'm preparing to pray with you and for you and together with you praying, I want you to create in yourself a spirit of expectation. Everything that you have, every issue, every circumstance, whatever it is, bring it now with you so that God can process you through whatever it is. It's not always negative things. Sometimes in the most positive things that are going on in our life, we're seeking the Lord's guidance. As a matter of fact, I would hope that in all things, we seek the Lord for his guidance. So if you're having a problem, bring that thing now. If things are going wonderful and you want God's continued guidance in all that you plan and endeavor to do, bring that up too. In expectation now for the Lord to guide you and to keep you and to hold you and to empower you and to prosper you in all that you do. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are wise and you are holy. And we thank you today, God, for what you have done to make this moment possible. And God, now we are in anticipation. We're expecting, God, great and wonderful things in this hour. We're asking you now, Lord, to overshadow us with your Holy Spirit so that we hear what you have to say to us individually. As well, God, we hear what you have to say to us corporately. We're asking you, God, to come now and bless us according to those things that you have in store for us. And Lord, we're just depending on you, and we don't hesitate to say that. In this hour, God, sometimes we are somewhat in denial about things that we really should address. And we're asking you to help us this morning with not pushing things back, but, oh Lord, that we address them in the power of God so that they can be dealt with. Do it now in the name of Jesus. Help us, God, because we are seeking to be strengthened by you. God, we ask also, unselfishly so, to bless our families, our friends. Keep us, oh God. And someone ask us somewhere along the way to say a prayer for them. And God, we're bringing that right now before you. And we're praying for our sister and we're praying for our brother. And God, right now we're declaring victory in their lives as well, unselfishly so. Oh God, those that we have come in contact with during the course of this week, somebody our heart went out for because of grief, because of pain. Someone lost their life this week, and they left the burden and the grief behind with families. And God, we're asking you now to cover them in the name of Jesus. Oh, we are in perilous times. but we are still in the powerful times of God. So, Lord, we seek you now to do all of these things. And most of all, God, as I have invited all of these that will hear the voice that is speaking, by God, the auspices of the Holy Spirit, that God, they will that you will now honor what they bring in expectation. Whatever it is, O Lord, let us process through it in this hour. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen, amen, amen and amen. God bless you now. Okay, so here we are. Get ready. Get your riding shoes on and get the excitement going and gather up with somebody that's really going to push you on through this. Amen. Push. That's what we need. We need somebody that's going to help push us on through this. So the Bible says set aside every heavyweight. So don't get beside nobody that's going to be a heavyweight now. Get somebody beside someone that's going to help push you through this. Amen. So I've asked you to join me at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I hope that you have arrived there, and select verses we're going to address. To those of you that just come in, you know, I'm going to wear this out. Yes, I am. This is my daughter's birthday today, and she is officially Roll Tide. When you marry, you're no longer twain, you're one. And my daughter's husband is Alabama. And to prove that, she was at the Alabama game yesterday, and I just can't seem to just let that go. Amen. So I'm just excited today about how God just works miraculously. Amen. Let's go on, you all, with a bit of humor. 1 Corinthians is where I've invited you to go, chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 7, 8, and 9. And just before I come out, the Holy Spirit said, read 10a. And then I got out of the way, and he said, read all of 10. So I'm going to read verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Beginning at verse number 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the prince of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye hath not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither have entered into the imagination of man, the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And unto us is a modifier of what was read in verse number 7, unto our glory. The pronoun in verse number 7, our glory, is modified in verse number 10, us, by his Spirit. Our glory by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I'm going to rest right there, and hearing Paul in his letter to the Corinthians explaining to them in their times exactly how things are unfolding. As I said prior, he is very careful to posture himself in total humility. He humbles himself. It is imperative that people see Christ and not him, that they get the message and not be lost in the messenger. Paul says that he is imparting a secret that is the hidden wisdom of God. And God decreed this secret before the ages, and he did it for our glory. Just as he saved us, or before, or we existed before the foundations of the world, there also existed this very hidden wisdom for our glory before the ages of all times. Paul makes it clear that none of the rulers of his time and none of the rulers of our time understand this sacred secret. It is a secret. Look at your text. If they had have known this, if the secret was available to the experts of the time, if the secret is available to the expert or the prince, the intellectuals of our time, he says, then they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, I need you to let that work in your mind for a moment. If Jesus had not died, then my sins would still exist. A cogent argument would disclose that if they had have known the secret, they would not have crucified him, resulting in me being left in sin. So if I place some emphasis on verse number 8, the prince of this world, and let's call them the experts, the ones who know that they know that they know. If they had have known this, they would not have moved forward with the judgment and the crucifixion of Christ. Now, the reason that this is noteworthy is because it gives me the opportunity to ask the question, just how much of a sacred secret is the secret that God has now revealed to us? How big of a secret is it? And I want to just say it like this. It's big. It's big. It's big, y'all. It's big. It's so big that the things that people or a person or a system do, thinking that they're going to hinder you, stop you, and cease God's progression and his progressive power over your life, is so big that the things that they think that they're doing in the realm of spiritual reality, they are in fact progressing you, pushing you, and advancing you to the next level. Because if they knew the secret, they would leave you alone. You asked me how big it was. Now, the thing is you've got to know this, that what you know, they don't know. If they know it, and the result of what they do would help you so much, they'd never do it. But now I've got to know it, because if I don't know it, then I'm going to feel real attacked. I'm going to feel defeated. I'm going to be depressed as a result of the attack, because I don't know the secret either. I've got to know that God is working for me, on my behalf, and that what they are doing is necessary. Whew. If I don't have an enemy, I won't have a footstool. In order for me to have a footstool, I've got to have an enemy, because the enemy is my footstool. And if I do away with all of my enemies, and I don't know when I'm going to need it or what the footstool is going to do, but if God is going to make my enemies my footstool, then I need both the enemy and the footstool. And it's up to me to seek God until I discover why I need a footstool in the first place. And if I know why I need a footstool, then instead of asking God to banish my enemies, I'll thank God for my enemies. You got to know this. While they, on the other hand, while we know what God is doing for us, they are blinded. They are blind to the mystery of God and the secret that God has disclosed to us or revealed to us about his plan for his power over our life. It gets deeper. Are you ready? If the instigator in the garden, you can call him what you want to call him. You sound like you know where I'm going. If the influencer in the garden had known that what he's doing, thinking that he's upsetting what God has planned for his creation, if he had have known, he would have left Eve and Adam alone. When he meddled in God's business, when he meddled in God's plan over their life to be fruitful, to multiply and replenish the earth. When he meddled in God's business, he simultaneously, you better catch this, activated his own demise. Who, God? What he didn't realize, Tracy, is that when he meddled in Eve and Adam's business and the plan that God had for them to be fruitful and to multiply, Janet, and to replenish the earth, that when he meddled in their life, he didn't even realize that when I mess it up for them, I'm messing it up for myself. If because I'm right here in the garden, and while they are eating and drinking and procreating and living life like it's lovely, so am I. But when he meddled in their life, he didn't know that when God dealt with them, he was going to also deal with him. Oh, God. If he had have left them alone, not only would Adam and Eve still be living out life like it's lovely, but so would he. But because of what he did, now his days are numbered, doomed. And as far as the offsprings of Adam and Eve, we're going right back to a garden that's greater than the one that we had in the first place, because God is going to give us triple, double, quadruple for the trouble that we had to go through. Stand up on your feet, clap your hands, and tell him what he thought for bad is working for my good. Now, you got to know that everybody that's plotting and planning against you right now, dibbing, dabbing, meddling, and otherwise, passing by you, wishing you the worst, but don't have the guts to come to your face and tell you that they don't care for you. Everything that they dream up is working for the better of what God has planned for your life. Because if they knew what I knew, now, they leave you alone. And just hopefully, which ain't going to happen either, you'll stumble over your own feet. But that ain't going to happen either. Because if I fall 7 times, oh God, I'm on one this morning. Y'all don't hear what I'm trying to tell you. While the influencer encouraged disobedience, and y'all always thought that was just horrible, horrific, when he, the influencer, encouraged them to disobey, when it encouraged them, it set in motion its own demise. So now, if I look in the mind of God, God's plan was to do away with evil for good. And this is the way that the plan was set. So now, I'm working together with God. I'm a co-laborer in his plan that's going to benefit us. So, dig deeper. If evil existed, it had to have ultimately be done away with. And the only way that it had could be done away with is it had to be brought up and put through the process. I don't know, maybe y'all not going to get that. And I'm glad that God have chosen me and made me a part of the plan and let me in on the secret that what they are doing, like verse number 8, look at verse number 8. If they knew, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Look at what Jesus does. Luke chapter 23. When you got it, just lift your hand up and wave it. Luke 23. All right. Taffany, read verse number 34. If the intellectuals of this time had have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But Jesus comes back again in Luke 23 and 34 and says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Whew. I got to stand firm in this one. This is why you can't give up on folks even when you know they dealt you a bad hand. Somebody holler at me, preach, Don. Tell your neighbor, don't take matters in your own hand. When Jesus prayed for them, he prayed for the person that's wronging you too. I believe that the prayer that Jesus prayed in verse number 34 of Luke 23, it echoes and bellows down through time. Father, forgive them. Whenever they do something that fathers your plan, because it's a secret, they didn't know. But they were chosen for such a time as this for our glory. That broken relationship where you got the short end of the stick, it worked to your good. It didn't feel good, but it worked to your good, and it's up to you to know. Now, if Jesus prayed that they be forgiven, you got to let it go. You can't come back and work against the prayers that Jesus have already prayed. But I know you're going to try to take the cut around and say, oh, they knew what they were doing. It ain't that they didn't know. They knew what they were doing. They were trying to hurt me. No, they didn't realize that what they were doing, the purpose as it relates to God's divine plan for your life, was not meant to destroy you. That's the part that they didn't know. My personal testimony is, the people who did things that disappointed me and hurt me when I thought that I made somewhat a sacrifice to come here and be here in the first place with my own people. And in return, you're trying to find everything that you can to destroy me and hurt me. Why are you doing this? What did I do? And when I got tired of being mistreated as I thought I was being mistreated, I became so despondent in my hurt that I started being evil in my thought. And I wanted to retaliate because I wanted them to hurt like I hurt. So I wanted to become the punisher too. Well, God let me deal with that so long until it really wasn't destroying anybody but me. Because no matter where I went, I was too worried about making sure they were hurt because of the hurt that I felt I had suffered. Until I had to discover and come face to face with God and say, how are you going to condemn and damn, what I have used to get you are where you are right now. Uh-huh. And the whole thing was always progressive. Where you had become comfortable in your own familiarity, I had other things that I needed you to do. So I had to stir the nest of circumstances. Uh-huh. Like an eagle stirreth her nest in order to move you on, because if they had not have done what they did, then you would not have come to the place that I wanted you to be. Oh, I would be celebrating about 40 some years now of service. But the question is, would I be where God wanted me to be? And I wouldn't be here. So now I got to go back and say, Lord, I thank you. And now look at it. God have dust the same people off. The same system off. He's dusted them off and everything is like nothing ever happened. And I'm glad I got over it. Because if they had known. And then Jesus prayed for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if Jesus prayed for them, then I may as well go ahead and get over it. So I'm going to give you all about 30 seconds. I'm going to pause and then I'm going to come back. To get rid of all of the remnants of hatred. You ain't got but 30 seconds. Malice. Anger. Envy. You ain't got but 30 seconds when I get through talking. Do it once and for all. After this, it's going to be on you. Because today, I'm telling you. I know you got your story and I got mine, and you don't have to heed to my voice, but you got 30 seconds. And what's going to help you speed up the process of getting over it is that the prayers of our Savior have already been prayed, whether you want to let it go or not. But you ain't got but 30 seconds to go ahead and let whatever it is, whoever it is, whatever they did, however bad it hurt you, how much sleep you have lost, how much it sets you back, you just got to let it go, and you got 30 seconds to get it done. The clock is ticking. Time is up. All after this is on you. Jesus pleaded with his Father. God pardon him, forgive him. And then he went on to do what he was assigned to do. Dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders. Died because he knew what his future held. I'll lay down for 3 days. And then I'm getting up again. There are many things which people would not do if they knew the wisdom of God. They don't know that it's a great plan for redemption. They act as they do because they are blind. Our current dispensation or administration teaches us what I have prefaced and premised this message with. And that is the fullness of God's grace. Say that with me. My current dispensation is the fullness of God's grace. graciously, God, makes available to us the administration of his grace. Since creation, there have been three between creation and grace. Including creation and grace, there are five. One of the most popular schemas or framework, one of the most popular structures of what God is doing is called the big story. That's the scriptures that we have. That's the big story. And the big story is linked together like a chain. Since the creation, the first link, came the fall, the second link, and I need you to see it as a chain. The creation, the fall, government, and the law, redemption, and then consummation. Consummation meaning grace. The creation, the fall, government, or the law, redemption, and consummation. Say them with me. Creation, the fall, government, redemption, and consummation. From Adam and Eve to the sin in the garden, the fall of man, to the Ten Commandments, to the birth of Christ, to the resurrection, and the dispensing of the Holy Spirit upon mankind. That's the framework, Cassie. Neatly put together, linked together. But they are all linked together by a single stronghold. And that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How were they held together? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whatever do I mean, the resurrection of Jesus Christ being the glue that holds it all together, or the stem that pulls the whole framework together, the master thread? What did the resurrection have to do with the creation? It's what you may ask. All of the dispensations, the creation that tells us what God made, the fall that tells us what happened to what God made, the law that tells us what God expects, what he made and how it conducts itself, the redemption tells us how God has, what God has done to address what happened, and then the consummation tells us where everything is headed. Right now, we must know the fullness of his grace. We cannot be on the other side, Cassie. Because if we don't know, then we are among those that are working evil. Can you say amen? I don't want to be numbered among those. Had they have known, they would not have crucified. Now, I must posture myself to say, Lord, I gotta know. Because if I don't know, then that means that I am among those that are running around wreaking havoc in the lives of other people. I want to know. I don't want to be thinking that selfishly that I'm doing things to help people when all along I'm a part of the opponent. I'm the adversary myself. I said this and I thought that it was so interesting the way that we are so quick, because I was reading some statement and they said the devil really got busy in that situation. And then the next thing they said is, the person, they call that person's name and say they're going to do a lot of time in prison. I said, well, that's messed up. We talk about how double the devil got busy in one sentence. And then in the next sentence, we want to make the individual the subject of the outcome of what the devil did. Well, my thinking is, if the devil did all that double duty, why don't he do the time? Why is it that the devil got to do all of the bad stuff, but then we have to end up doing all of the time? That don't bother you all? That don't concern you all? It should. Because my thing is, if the devil was one that was on double duty, then why don't we put the devil on trial? That don't strike you all strange, what we say? The devil, boy, the devil is busy. But I ain't ever read what the devil did one day in prison. Y'all just don't get that. I'm having a problem with that. You got it. Well, then stop putting it on the devil. And make the one that's responsible the one that's doing the time. It ain't what he did as much as it is what I allowed. Now, if we talk better, we can live better. If in the morning you don't get up and talk about how busy the devil was last night and take responsibility for what you did, you can have some better nights in your future. But as long as I can push, see, y'all don't have one of them siblings that had the ability to get out of it every time. I'm being messy now. It's one of them that no matter what they did, and we knew it because we tell mom and daddy, they don't ever. I'm being messy. Me and Janet didn't have that problem. But I'm not going to call whoever that is that never got in trouble the devil, but you seem to have always did the time for what they did. Right? Let's move on. And when I look at that, I'm like, I need to know about the fullness of his grace so that I can start taking more responsibility for what I do and what I allow. Hmm? Yeah, I'm teaching. In the fullness of his grace, I don't have to push the buck. Or I don't have to direct the blame somewhere else. All I have to do is declare the power of the blood of Jesus over my life and confess my sin. And I know that he is just. And you got to know the power of that word just. God already knows when you come to him whether it's going to be done again or not. He already knows when you come, just as sure as you open your prayer. He already knows. You realize how many times God could actually say, yeah, right. Imagine how many times. Think about how many times he already did it, and you can come up with some idea how many times that he's going to have to do it in it. But in the fullness of his grace, I know he has a plan for me where that thing that I don't allow, that I do, that the law that is in my members that caused me to say, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm in the scriptures now. Y'all know these are the words of Paul, right? That thing that I would to do, I do not, but that thing that I would not to do, that thing I do. All of that is inclusive in you knowing the power of his grace, and it's a secret. When you really get in the depths of this current dispensation, you will also know the fullness of his word that says, now there is no condemnation. The opinion and the judgments of others will never restrain you, confine you. They won't hinder you. They won't hamper you. And it's not that you have to conclude or rest on this philosophy. I don't care what they think. I do care. I do. I'm concerned enough that I will continue to work on myself to improve and better, so that there will be lesser and lesser accusations. Come on, people. Oh, yeah. God can get it to the point where it's not that they don't have anything to say, but the things that they say will be less and lesser destructive. I hope it does. You can have it where they may not say anything positive, but they won't say anything at all. Now I have helped them. If I do what God told me to do, and that is examine myself, I'm teaching you all. Well, I hope we get it. It's because we can't get up every day pointing the finger and the blame. I told that story about the devil. We've got to stop pointing the blame on everybody else about what everyone else has done. And we vindicate and justify ourselves by thinking that we're coming to our own defense. Better yourself. Each dispensation is reconciled to God in only one way. And how is that? By God's grace through the work of Christ that was accomplished on the cross and vindicated in his resurrection. Every dispensation, from the creation of man to the fall of man to the lawgiver to the birth of Jesus Christ to the life to the cross, vindicated in the resurrection. Every bit of it. What happened in the Garden of Eden was also a part of God's grace when it's sought through the resurrection, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before the cross, everybody say before the cross. That's where you have to really put your attention based on what I said. How can we get the cross connected to the creation of man? Huh? Easy. Listen. Look at Genesis 3, I think, and 15. I may stand corrected. I may have to look it up. I may stand corrected on this, but somebody just start telling me what it says, and I'll see if I need to correct myself. Thank you. Yes, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I will put, who is he talking to? No, he's talking to, which one is he talking to? No. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Eve. And what does he say? Between. Yes.
He said, I will make you and the woman hate each other. Her offspring and yours will always be enemies.
Okay. Y'all reading. Okay, no. That's because of your translation.
This is King James.
Thank you. Read King James.
It says that I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
Uh-huh.
And between thy seed and her seed.
Now, there it is, right there. Listen to what he says, because you have to hear it from this translation, because you ask where the only place that Christ will rest is the woman has no seed. Who has the seed? Who carries the seed? The man carries the seed. He says between the enemy and the woman's seed. But the woman has no seed. Look up at me, people. Read it carefully. Enemies, you're going to be between you and the woman. Y'all going to have discourse, continued issues, flare-ups, flames. But the real war is between the woman's seed and the seed of the influencer. All right? No. He's talking to the serpent and the woman's seed. I got to be careful here, because I don't want it to be any misinterpretation about what the Bible is actually saying. And we got these translations sometimes really think that they're helping us, but it causes us to get foggy with what is actually being said. Are you seeing the seed? Whose seed? Maybe that's the best thing for me to ask. In whatever translation you're reading, and sometimes pastors won't do this. They want everybody reading the same translation. Don't do that. It's because that's not what they're going to read when they're in their home. So don't force them to read the King James when they're in the place of gathering. Let them read that, but just rightly divide the word of truth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Whose seed is it? That's the question.
Adam's seed.
He's going to put that enmity between the serpent and Adam's seed. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm confused. He's talking to the serpent. Yes.
All right.
He's telling the serpent.
And what does he say to the serpent?
He's going to put a rift between you and Adam's offspring.
And Adam's offspring. Everyone concur?
Adam.
Whose seed? Okay, that's good. That is very conjectural, and I accept that. Taffany, you said no. Why? Whose seed?
Well, the way I'm reading it is that you say I will put enmity between thy and the woman, meaning the man and the woman.
This okay. Absolutely.
He shall bruise thy head, meaning it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So I'm fixing to be stepping on, my heel is going to be stepping on the serpent's head.
Okay, now, when he speaks in Genesis 3 and 15 of the woman's seed, the woman is already prophetically, the word is already spoken in her. Mary was the one who brought forth the seed that is the seed that had already been dispensed in the garden, which is speaking of the birth of Jesus Christ. Because see, Jesus had no natural daddy. So when he came to Mary and said, you have conceived of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have to give the benediction. He was speaking through Mary's womb, through every womb that had been broken, to get back to what he did in the very beginning. Mary was left to ask, why me? And I got an answer for her, but now she already know. And I want you to know, why not you? It's because you're working together with God, whatever you got to go through.
I'm just messed up, so I just may as well quit. I'm messed up.
I'm messed up, y'all. We want to make him get off in Bethlehem, because that make us look good in our big suits and fluffy long handkerchiefs with them jerry curls to short waves and dues, and gonna get all that money when we get through preaching, because we want to get up there and we want to make it so colorful, because we want to start in Bethlehem and we want him to get off in Bethlehem and we want to preach about the angels and we want to do all of that. Jesus didn't start in Bethlehem, y'all. My Savior was in the garden. Huh? And it's him, which is the grace of God, that pulls the creation, the fall, the law, the redemption, and the consummation all together. Everything that is prior to the cross is the prophetic message of a Savior coming. So all that don't believe on him because he came, believed on him because it was promised that he was already coming. Now I'm going to be through. I'm finished. I'm serious. And when I say I'm through, I'm really through. I'm finished. Because I'm messed up. I got a whole lot to say, but I can't say no more, because the power of the resurrection have released unto us now, I have not seen, ears have not heard, neither entered into the imagination of man, but it has been revealed unto us. To stop making God live in some box that sound good out of some sermonic prose of some preacher who simply wants to massage your souls into the happy Holy Ghost fit of shouting, but not declaring the power of God over your life in every breath you take, in every step that you make, every day of your life, in every situation that you encounter, every child that you have, every job that you work on, every dollar that you spend, every breath that you take, he's right there. And always has been and always will be. And it doesn't matter if your child is locked up in some mental institution. Your child is locked up somewhere in somebody's prison, somebody's jail. Your brother is locked up in some drug addiction or some alcoholism. It does not matter. Because when I release the power of the cross, when I release the power in myself, and stop restricting and constricting these good old Sunday go to meeting and shout all over the place and then go raise $1 million worth of hell, talking about how saved and how sanctified and Holy Ghost filled you are, and just say, Lord, sit on me. Work on me. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When we try to make this thing fit into our little boxes, neatly put together by what make us look good and make us sound good, somebody ought to get a benediction. Now may the Lord watch between me and thee. And y'all don't know, that ain't a victorious benediction. That is a benediction of two that don't see eye to eye. Church folk ought not even be declaring that anyway. Y'all ought to read that in the scriptures where it see that two enemies are parting plague ways, and they say, now may the Lord watch between me and thee while we absent one from the other. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying, but what I need to tell y'all is when you leave here, you leave in the peace of God. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And stop going through all of this cliché-ish, modern, fascist kind of carrying on, so that wherever and whatever you're having to deal with, whatever the situation is, you can see the power of the cross. Y'all don't see here what I'm saying, in the vindication of his resurrection in everything that you do, everything since the beginning of time. That seed that is in that woman is Jesus Christ that come down. Y'all like to say 42 generations. Guess what? I can't count the generations, because somebody say it's too many. But he was already there. Jesus, imagine our Savior, his son, having to be held up and wait until some woman got right. Imagine now he got to wait on somebody for y'all, because y'all know y'all be doing what y'all want to do, and y'all wouldn't have ever had time for Jesus to be born because you're too busy doing your own thing. Imagine the Savior having to wait on you. Every woman that's in here today, imagine if he had to have to wait on you. You ain't ready and ain't gonna ever be ready. No, that's because he didn't have to wait on you. You are waiting on him. And let me tell you something. When he gets ready to come through, when he gets ready to come through the same way now, and because I'm his bride, the same way he is birthed in Mary, that's the same way, the spiritual. Somebody say the spiritual. The spiritual process of us coming to pass is the same way that he is birthed in us, the word that comes forth. And I pray that you all leave with in some blessed way today. But and I had no idea, but I'm just, that's it. That's it. And I'll continue from there and pull together the framework, the structure, the schemas of how this whole big story is put together. I'll talk about that later. But right now, just say the resurrection. The cross and the resurrection. Does anybody have any questions? Does anybody have any questions? Any questions whatsoever? Huh? Any questions whatsoever? Whatsoever. The devil didn't know what he was doing in the garden, but God showed him real quick. Between her seed and your seed, all of them imps and demons that you are going to dispatch and deploy, they're going to be working at odds against each other. But then Jesus came along and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Anybody with any questions? Anyone with any questions? God bless you, and I love you. I pray that you have a wonderful rest of the day. And somebody may be glad that I got messed up, because now my sermon was short. But I'll be back next week, God willing. And y'all go your way in peace. Amen. Amen. And God bless you.